Good morning, YouTube. I believe this is the first time we've ever gone live in YouTube here from Smart to Death instead of just going on Twitch. But, you know, we wanted to do something special, or I wanted to do something special. This is just Anthony today. No Kyle. Kyle's still asleep. Maybe still drunk. Who fucking knows? But I am joined by my good pals, JPQ and Mr. Warren Hayes. And we are going to be your bracketology experts today. As you see, we all have blazers on because we are fucking fancy. We are indeed. But we are here to break down the New Japan Cup, which is starting this coming weekend. Guys, run yourselves down. Mr. Warren Hayes, tell me a little bit about yourself. I love that you said the Ronda Rousey funk, even though we talked for 57 minutes on Thursday night and really just laughed at her expense. John, what have you got going on, buddy? Tell the people. You have no sound. Aha! I did it again. There we go. I did this one. Last time I was with John, I did it to him. Run your shit back through. It's fine. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, everyone's freaking out in the chat, Anthony. All right. Hi. My name is Mr. Warren Hayes, and I do recaps of WWE Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Tuesday evening. So that's fantastic. I do that on my own YouTube channel at youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. I also contribute at Fightful.com, more specifically on the FightfulSelect.com premium service, where I do a 205 Live NXT NXT UK recap show every Wednesday night. I do extra shows. I do all sorts of fantastic stuff, and yeah, and it's a pleasure to be here. It's really, really fun to be here to talk about some New Japan. It'll be a lot different.
I can't wait until I put the audio out, and then we get to hear your plugs twice. But it still lasted like a little shorter than it does on the Mr. Warren Hayes show, so I think it's completely fine. I'm okay with it. Here. John, tell us about yourself. Tell us what you got going on.
I am not a gentleman, and my job is to speculate on professional wrestling on the No Particular Angle podcast, as well as make your life a living hell whenever possible.
True. So. Yeah, that's actually very, very true. Usually by abusing me and threatening me when it comes to not watching Stardom. So,
well, hashtag yeah. Watch Stardom.
That's right. Just like New Japan, I don't want to admit that women exist. Anyway, let's go on to the way we're going to run this show today. If you guys are listening on audio, we did this on YouTube. So go to youtube.com/smarttodeath. You can watch the video. Mr. Warren Hayes has a Mr. Warren Hayes board. He has some saying he says about it, but it is filled with the bracket, and there's a lot of names on it. So yeah. Warren is going to take over this portion of the episode, and we're going to run down every matchup for you, tell you guys who's going to win and why, and you know we're going to give you the answer on who's going to win this New Japan Cup and face Jay White eventually.
Yes, because that's the prize this year. Historically, you know, people could challenge for the at first it was for getting a title shot at the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, but then it was extended. You could challenge for the IC title, you could challenge for the NEVER title, but this year the prize is Jay White at the G1 Supercard in a couple of weeks. It's crazy to think that we're that close to the event. Like I remember when we were like, oh, back in April, you know, so far away, but man, It is really, really close now. So, yeah, so we're going to run down the brackets. It is a like Anthony said, we're going to walk through it and get to our predictions. I mean, this I feel is going to be more of a spoiler show because I think we're going to pick correctly.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
I think so. If you don't want to have your New Japan Cup spoiled, leave the stream right now or don't. Please don't, actually. all right, let's go right ahead. We're going to start with the first bracket at the very top left. We've got Nagata, Yuji Nagata, versus my boy, Tomohiro Ishii. Why don't we start with John, because we've already heard a lot of Anthony so far. John, give us your thoughts on this opening match. Who do you think is going to make it?
Well, I like the power in the match, right? I like that we have an MP or New Japan Pro Wrestling dad, and I like the fact that Ishii's coming back, right? He's kind of been used sparingly since Wrestle Kingdom. So get him back in the fold. I think that this is a good bracket for him to be in. You don't have a true power pit bull, right, that you would in the other sides of the bracket. So I think it's going to have interesting matchups. I think Nagata's going to come out. He's had a good start to the year. He is seated above Ishii, which I don't think doesn't make much sense to me. But I think that has to do with the lack of events that Ishii's been at. And I think we're going to see a quick upset here in the first round.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Anthony.
So you're calling Ishii the winner, the upset, correct?
Since he's seated lower. Exactly what I'm doing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I agree. It is weird, right, that Ishii hasn't been around for a while, because I feel like he had a really strong push at the end of 2018. I felt like we saw him everywhere. To me, I felt like Ishii was really being built as a contender. I think that this tournament is where we see that again. So I do have Ishii winning the first round. I don't know why you would put Nagata over.
No, I don't think so either. But I think this is pretty clear cut. It's your boy Ishii that's going for it. So I'm going to add his name onto the next part of the of the bracketeering. Next, our next bracket that we're going to talk about is Hanma versus Taichi. I mean, for me personally, Taichi is involved, so. Ugh. Anthony, why don't you give us a few thoughts here?
Man, this is a weird matchup in the sense that I don't actually want to see this match. I know a lot of people really love Taichi. I don't know anyone that's a massive fan of Hanma. I'm going to go Taichi. I guess I feel like they put him over a whole lot. I'm not, I don't know. I mean, convince me otherwise if you can, but I would imagine he's not going to lose in the first round.
I don't think so either. And just before we, you know, we go to John, I just, you know, as like, you know, if I distance my personal feelings from from this, that, like, New Japan needs some quality proper heels, and they're going to need detestable individuals as the tournament moves on.
Absolutely.
You know, and I would like nothing more than to have a round two where Ishii completely gobbles up Taichi, but we'll talk about that later.
We will.
But yeah, like, you know, I think, and you know, I mean, Hanma, how much gas in the tank does Hanma have as well? You know, right. I don't know. John, what are your thoughts?
Well, so Taichi now possesses the Iron Claw, right? And now that Iizuka has retired a few weeks back, the last thing we saw was Taichi with the Iron Claw. So you can look at this two different ways. Is this the tool now that he utilizes to get farther than he has been before? Let's be honest, the openweight title needs to be built when he had it. Or is it the curse of the Iron Claw, which is what it has been for the last couple years? So we could see an upset here with Hanma. Personally, I don't think I'm not comfortable with Hanma wrestling after the head injuries and still doing the headbutts. So I hope this is a quick match. I hope we see Taichi leave with the victory and move on to create a story with the Iron Claw.
Well, there we go.
I love that John actually has a pencil here. So he really looks like an absolute expert. And we have people in the chat, specifically Darren Kirkby, telling us that Taichi is life. Couldn't disagree more.
Can someone ban Darren for the rest of the show? Oh, he's a mod.
He's a mod. Yeah, I can't ban him because, you know, he's in charge.
Ban yourself, Darren.
Mags is mod.
All right. Next, let's move along here. Next, we have Nakanishi versus Yoshihashi. Again, I feel like this is another very self-evident one, but... John, I'd like to know what you think.
Yeah, I think this is where we see our first upset. And it's not because I have a personal bias towards Yoshihashi. This is something where we always see some first-round matchups. Let's not forget that three of the last 4 years, Tanahashi has been taken out in the first round. So we are privy to upsets within this tournament. That's what makes the New Japan Cup so fun. Looking at the lineups and trying to pick your bracket busters, this is a classic 5-12 matchup. Where the 12, nobody thinks they have a chance, and they come in and they really show. And Nakanishi has that New Japan Dad kind of style, where people in Japan like to see them progress more than you think they would. And Yoshihashi, who is a very talented wrestler, he's got nothing going on right now. And to bury him, quote unquote, bury him, perfectly fine by me. Let Nakanishi make it to the next round. Let him set up a nice little thing against Robinson and Owens.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine they put Yoshihashi over. I mean, I don't know why they
really
would. No, I don't think so. You know, I'll be honest. I'm not incredibly familiar with either of these wrestlers. I do watch New Japan, but I don't. It's very difficult to watch all of it. But yeah, I like John's reasoning. I think that's sound. The classic 5-12 matchup in the spirit of March Madness, which is, you know, the college basketball thing about to start here soon. I like it. John has me convinced. Let's go Nakanishi. Why the fuck not?
Well, because I'm not sure. he was very much involved last year in, you know, in this, you know, what's going on with Chaos. You know, he was very much involved in that storyline where you felt like Tanahashi was sort of drawing him over to his side. There was the whole situation as well where, where he had to go away due to injury. Came back, you know, they built it up as a comeback story, even though he lost upon his return. I don't like, for a guy who still manages to be like in these kind of, I wouldn't want to say high profile matches, but still like above the lower mid card anyway, you know, where he still has a certain kind of shine. You feel you want, it feels like they want to do something with him. And maybe this just might be the little crack of the whip, you know, to get something going. I don't know, guys. We're supposed to have a consensus. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced yet.
Okay, well, then let me put it this way. Yoshihashi is a loser. He's meant there to lose, right? Like, that's his job, is that he puts on great matches and then he never does anything with them. And you need that spot in New Japan. So to come out first round, you know, make Nakanishi look competitive, and then so that he can go on against the matchup that we're going to have after this, I think does a good thing for helping to build Nakanishi so that he can look powerful against his next opponent. And that's what Yoshihashi's role is. You said they built him and then he lost. Why? Because he's a loser. He's a perennial loser. He's the one that eats the pinfalls, but he's there to make the talent look great. He's not an enhancement talent. I don't want to cheapen him as if it was WWE, but his job is to get other people over, but still look competitive along the way. People love him, but you don't expect him to win anything.
I love the usage of the that sentence, that breakdown there. I don't want to, you know, talk about him as enhancement talent as if this was the WWE.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Hit the bell. I don't have a bell.
We'll go with... Not Yoshihashi, sorry. See how committed I am to my idea? Jesus.
Warren's going fucking rogue.
Yeah, it's like I'm going into business for myself. I'm going all Ronda Rousey on you bitches.
Please don't aggressively tweet at me. Please don't aggressively tweet at me. Anything but that.
So Nakanishi going forward here over Yoshihashi. Next we have a Gaijin battle. Gaijin. Chase Owens versus Juice Robinson.
Gaijin.
Chase Owens versus Juice Robinson. I think this is a no-brainer as well. I think Juice goes forward. John, what say you?
Yes, I agree. I think
Anthony, what say you?
There's nothing else about this matchup. Juice Robinson.
There we go. Good old Juice.
We've got all right. Chris and Ashley in the chat telling me that my keyboard is the real star of the show. Don't worry, boys. The keyboard's back.
All right, let's move along then. That was an easy one. Okay. Kazuchika Okada versus Michael Elgin in what should be, for being all honest with each other, a really fun match. What do you think, Anthony?
Yeah, I think this would be a really good match. I have trouble watching Michael Elgin matches because of his past, to be honest. But to say that he's not a talented wrestler and is not capable of putting on good matches is absolutely absurd. Okada's in what I think is one of the most interesting storylines in all of wrestling right now, on this nice redemption pass, you know, from losing the IWGP heavyweight title and then kind of losing sight of himself. I think the New Japan Cup is really where we're going to see him continue to you know earn his reputation back as the Rainmaker. I think Okada wins this match, not without Elgin really looking like he could upset Okada. And if he did upset Okada, I wouldn't be surprised, but I will go with Okada.
John.
I do think that the redemption story path is one that they're going to explore this tournament. I do not see Okada having a problem getting over Elgin. It will be a banger of a match. I expect stiff shots, good suplexes, high drop kicks. It'll be super entertaining. It's going to take at least two Rainmakers to get him down. But at the end of the day, the Rainmaker's moving on.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any possible way in this setup here that Kazuchika Okada doesn't go forward. So we'll put the big man here. Moving on to round two. Next, we have two returning guys, or at least one returning guy and a new guy. We have Hikuleo, who's returning to action after being injured for a long, long time, against Mikey Nichols, former NXT star, known as Nick Miller of the TM61 or the Mighty or the Mighty Don't Kneel, depending on what your preference is, who recently signed with New Japan. Good for him. So this will be actually, if I'm not mistaken, guys, this is really his first match since signing with New Japan, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, that's fantastic. So so one of the Tongans returning. Former NXT star up in there. Anthony, how do you see this one going down? This is going to be an interesting one.
This is going to be a super interesting one because we haven't seen Mikey Nichols in New Japan. We haven't seen him without the, you know, the restraints that is WWE style that keeps you from doing things that will probably or potentially or definitely break your neck. So, you know, we're not sure what he's capable of. You know, and I don't know a whole lot about Mikey Nichols because I didn't see him wrestle very much before. I think Hikuleo got injured right around when I started watching New Japan. So for me, this is super compelling because I don't know these guys. I think Mikey Nichols, I think, is part of Chaos, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's actually been added to Chaos. Absolutely.
I don't know how to pick on this one. I would think that they'd go with I'm going to go Mikey Nichols. I feel like, you know, the new debuting guy out of Chaos is an interesting thing. It's nice writing. This up-and-comer that's new to the company wins in the first round. You don't have to have him win the next round, but winning the first round as a new guy would be interesting. I don't know. I think I could see Gato going either way here.
John, sway us.
I like Hikuleo in this for two reasons. First reason being is that Nichols knows how to wrestle in Japan. Right, he spent 5 years over at Pro Wrestling Noah, or at Noah. He then went to the NXT, and then he came back. So for him, he's a seasoned vet. He knows how to work stiff. He knows how to work the Japanese style. And for him to now bring back, or for him to go up against Hikuleo, he can do a serviceable job of getting Hikuleo over. Right, and because of that, with the BC Chaos thing going on, BC's still on top. They're still the dominant faction. Chaos is still in Chaos. So because of those two things, although you got fresh blood on either side, with Tama Tonga and Tongaloa having the titles, with Jay White having the IWGP heavyweight title, I think this is a nice way to incorporate a Tongan back into the fold, have him beat Chaos, continue that storyline, and at the same time allow Mikey Nichols do what he does best, and that is get people over. So I would tell you that Hikuleo in this one.
I'm going to pick Hikuleo for an entirely other reason, well, or maybe more of a logical one, because I think we're all in agreement that there's no way Okada is getting knocked out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, barring something absolutely sinister and diabolical, mm-hmm. if we're just going straight booking, I don't see a Chaos versus Chaos thing. I don't see Nichols going forward and fighting Okada.
Mm.
I really feel, and there's no Tongan presence in the tournament otherwise, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I kind of have the Tongan brothers, right? Like Meng's kids. I feel like just on that aspect alone, I think Hikuleo goes forward. And, you know, it'll be good because there is a story there nonetheless, you know, returning from injury, getting past the first round, fighting Okada. Well, you know, it's respectable to fall to Okada in the second round of a tournament.
No, I agree with that. I think that's more than reasonable booking. It was very difficult for me to make a decision here, just because I either angle's interesting, but with going with they're not going to go Chaos versus Chaos, I think that is 100% good enough for me to agree with you on the Tongan going forward.
So we'll put Hikuleo here. Moving forward, next, Bad Luck Fail Filet.
Filet Mignon.
Mm. Bad Luck Filet Mignon versus your boy Will Ospreay. Talk about a clash of styles, John. Talk about a clash of styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, right, you got your power high flyer in Will Ospreay, and then you just got your down and dirty grounder in Bad Luck Filet. See, the thing that you got to remember about Bad Luck Filet is that he does pretty well in this tournament. Not so much in the later rounds, but in the first round or two, he's beaten some high-profile people, including Hiroshi Tanahashi, in the first round 2 years ago. So this is kind of his tournament in the early stages. He does play upset a lot. I ultimately don't think that's where they're going, but if I can sit here and kind of muse for a second.
Please do.
You have Hikuleo coming out of round one, going into the quarters against Okada. You have Okada versus Bad Luck. If Bad Luck can get through Ospreay, then he's kind of got to walk over Hanari and Archer in the next match. And now you're setting up Okada having to beat BC members all the way to the finals, especially if somehow you can have Chase Owens run the table on the other side, which is a weaker division overall. So, like, you can play that narrative at least through the first two rounds to get a little bit of for Okada to get a little bit of redemption. If we're going to play that story over Bullet Club, then it would make sense for Bad Luck to go over here. Now, it doesn't do anything for the open weight title, but then what the hell does? Right? Like, it's nice that it's on Ospreay, but let's be honest, it's not the prestigious of the titles that we have in New Japan. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think it's Ospreay because I think people want Ospreay Okada. I think New Japan wants Ospreay Okada. And I think that's where we'll go into the semis. But right now, I'm going to go Ospreay, but don't be surprised if Bad Luck wins.
Yeah.
Anthony, go ahead.
I really like a lot of those points with you know, the storyline there, right? Because that's the New Japan booking. Is everything has a story going forward. That's one of the things why, you know, one of the reasons we love that. And so a really nice story is seeing Okada on a redemption trail to beating Bullet Club members. And, you know, let's say he does win the whole damn thing and he's facing, you know, Jay White, his, you know, ultimately the person that set him along this path, it seems, onto redemption, other than, you know, losing the title, but you know what I mean. I want to pick Ospreay because I think it's the right thing to do. I think he should win, but he's already getting that match with Jay White, you know, title versus title. It's a non-title match. He's already getting this. I know that he probably should win to add prestige to the, you know, the Never Open title, but I think I like Bad Luck Fale here. I think I do. Yeah.
I think it does make a lot of sense because I'm you know, not to spoil anything, but I do believe that the New Japan Cup, the overarching story here is going to be Okada's redemption.
Yeah.
I really do believe that's going to be the tale of the entire tournament. I'm completely on board with him going through Bullet Club members. And, you know, at the same time, you know, Ospreay's working injured right now, isn't he? Like, he's...
I mean, that what's new, though? He's always
what's new? Injured. I know.
Yeah. I mean, he's changed his style. Like, that's where it's difficult for me is to not just go with Ospreay's. Ospreay's changed his style and become this, like John said, a power high flyer now. Like,
yeah.
And he really, if you watch his matches, he's not nearly as dangerous as he was before. So either it's because he's injured or he's just sick of hurting his fucking neck all the time. But... yeah, I don't know. This is a difficult matchup to pick.
Well, I'm going with Fale.
I am too.
I'll take him.
There we go. Your boy Bracket Buster.
Bracket Buster.
There you go. We should have had a graphic for that, Anthony.
You know, I barely figured out how to put this thing on. So let's... if you want a graphics, right. That was you, buddy.
That's right. It's true. It wasn't me.
And the final bracket of this seating here, the left hand seating, is Tua Henare and Lance Archer. Look, I mean, it's I dig Lance Archer. I think he's fantastic. I think there's a lot of upside to him. And if this means, you know, Lance Archer versus Bad Luck Fale in the second round beating on each other, sure, I'd love to see that. But Tua Henare, man, he's a solid hand. He's one of these guys who's just done everything that's asked of him. Would this maybe be the start of something new for him? I don't know. Anthony, why don't you start?
You know, I want to go with Lance Archer mostly because, you know, we did have the, you know, the pleasure of interviewing Mr. Lance Archer here on the Smart to Death show.
It's a bias and a plug.
And a plug, absolutely. Number one downloaded episode. Go listen to it. It's fantastic.
I learned how to do that.
Huh?
I gotta learn how to do that.
Yeah. Oh, you seamlessly plug no matter what you do. I do it anytime Warren invites me, I just seamlessly plug all of the time. So you know. Anyway. Yeah, I think I'm going to go Tua Henare. I just don't see why Lance Archer needs to win. I think he's fantastic too. I think he's great, but I don't see that they're really doing anything with KES. And if they are, I mean, why have, I don't know. Tua Henare, why not?
John, what do you think?
Well, that's the thing. So Tua Henare is he's so hot right now, right? And Lance Archer, he comes back for stints. So you're not going to see him long term. I guess from a storyline perspective, there is no particular angle.
Oh!
But it's going to be Tua Henare. had to do it.
Every Wednesday, Apple Podcast. That's what you have to follow up with. By the way, Wednesday, Apple Podcast, Google, Podbean, so on and so forth. You'll get there, John.
Yeah, that's right. I'm slowly learning.
You learn from me and Warren that you have no room to fail. None at all.
But yeah, no, definitely Tua Henare in there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that too, despite the fact that I'd really like Lance Archer and Bad Luck Fale to kick the tar out of each other. Yeah, and I'd actually like to see Fale and Henare as well. That'd be exciting as well. So, all right.
Darren Kirkby in the chat says Mick Foley plug. I don't know what it means, but I feel like it should be read. Kristen Ashley also said she picks all three of us to win the New Japan Cup.
Nice.
I know, it's
very strange. Mean, if we can wrestle all three of us in as one as one team against one guy, like three on ones the whole way, sure, we stand a chance.
You know, I got to say this before we move on. The three of us can wrestle. I went to a show last night. I won't name the show, but I think they call it Dad Bod Pro Wrestling, and I believe the three of us have the bodies for wrestling now.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
We're body guys.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to adjust the lighting because the minute that the spotlights would shine on my phosphorescent white body, everyone would get blinded. Or, you know, they just give them like the glasses that they give people, you know, to look at eclipses. That way, you know, no one stays blind. No one everyone maintains their eyesight and can still enjoy the show.
It's indie wrestling, so the glasses are actually just 3D glasses.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have our first round of seeding here. Next, we are going to move on to the other side of the tournament, the other brackets. Starting off with Tanahashi versus Umino, who is a young lion. Mm-hmm. Big opportunity for him. Yet going up against Hiroshi Tanahashi, John. I mean, there's no way Tana's losing this, right?
Well, let me present the argument. All right. So like I said before, so one, Tanahashi, this isn't his best tournament, right? Now, he had a good showing last year, and he got all the way to the finals, and that's great. Hats off to you. But yet he's lost in the first round three of the last 4 years, right? So this isn't one that he does particularly well in. And Shota Umino is their number one young lion right now, and he's had good matches, and he's had strong matches, and he had just had a great weekend at Ring of Honor, Rising of Honor, whatever it is, show. He is Red Shoe's son, right? Mm. Tanahashi has known him as long as he's been alive, So for him to put over any young lion, if they're going to put over a young lion, it's going to be Umino. You might see the upset here. I think they're going to tease it pretty well, but ultimately I think Tanahashi walks away with this one. But it's going to be a hell of a lot closer, and I guarantee you Ant gets faked out at least twice.
Oh, there you go. Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them having Tanahashi lose to a young lion. I don't see him going very far in this tournament. Not to spoil anything, I don't anticipate he'll make it very, very far, but I can't see him going over a young lion. I mean, a young lion going over him, especially when he just had the belt. I think him having the belt and then going to the New Japan Cup after losing it and then losing the first round, I think in a way kind of hurts the IWGP heavyweight belt. Just my opinion.
I think it'll be a more competitive match than we're expecting. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be the start of something good for Umino, who might actually, you know, why not toss him back into the G1 and have him have a really good showing there?
Absolutely.
You know, which is also something possible. I think they do, you know, with the talent departures, they do need to strengthen their base, elevate new guys, put in new guys who can elevate new guys. I think that'll be his role for a while. But yeah, I don't see for the same reasons that Anthony just pulled out here. I don't think Tanahashi is losing in the first round. Mm-hmm. Next here we have, give me a second here. We have Hiroyoshi Tenzan, who is going to be going up against, well, someone, because he was scheduled to face Dave Finley Jr., but Finley's been injured. He's been officially taken out of the tournament, but no replacement has been announced. Does the replacement matter, John?
No. Tenzan's having a nice 2019. He got a nice little show with Azuka and playing up the old tag team and then ultimately the retirement show. I would like to see Ren Narita in this spot. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's Tenzan moving on.
Anthony?
Yeah, it's Tenzan moving on. It didn't even matter if Dave Finley was there.
No.
It doesn't, which is kind of too bad. But
is it?
That's his role. That's what he does. Yeah, right?
I mean, he only wins when Juice is around. That's kind of his whole thing. Yeah. It's like they win together and not really. I mean, they win in Ring of Honor. Go Lifeblood or something. is that how it works? I don't fucking
know. I have no idea. Mm. I mean, you know, I wish I could prop you up, but right now
you have a hand sign. Is it like this, like LB? Because this is a B in sign language.
Look, honestly, I have no idea. I wish I could prop you up, but right now it's just awkward. So let's move on. We're gonna go next match. So we got Tenzan moving forward. Next, we have, this is a weird one for round one, guys. Ibushi versus Naito. Yeah. Anthony, go right in go right for it. Like, this is a strange one for round one.
I don't understand why you make this a first round matchup, because neither of these guys should, or I would say neither of them can lose, as in, like, they don't need to lose. They both need this win. But it's so, this is a tough matchup. It's going to be an absolute great match. It should be the best match of the first round. I don't know how it couldn't be. You know, Ibushi just signed a long-term deal with them, and you know, the whole reason why Ibushi never has won that big belt is because he would not commit to New Japan long-term. And if anybody can lose and still look strong and still look like a contender, it's Naito. I think Ibushi has to win this matchup. I think he's going to win this matchup. I don't know why you don't reward him and thank him for signing long-term by not having him go over Naito in the first round of the tournament.
John?
Yeah, it's going to be Ibushi. It's a 25-minute banger or so, and I'm totally okay with that. And I'm okay with Naito losing because he can afford it. He's the most popular wrestler in New Japan. He's been buried for the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, if you want to go back that far. His redemption story is going to come the back half of the year through the G1. You don't need him in this tournament, but you do need people to punch in and watch, and that's why you have Ibushi versus Naito.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I agree. And I think right now, if you were to tell, you know, like with the snapshot that we have right now, seeing how the New Japan Cup is set and everything, the G1 is Naito's to win this year. It really is. Like, I feel that's where he's going to come out on top. But yeah, I agree. We'll go with moving forward here with Ibushi, who's been cleared, by the way, in case you're wondering. He has been cleared.
It's interesting how easily we came to that conclusion, even though that should be a difficult matchup to predict. If you're not, podcasters that think that we know everything, it should be a very difficult matchup to predict. But I think it's very interesting we came to that conclusion so fast. But
In my case, it's not a question of it being difficult to predict. It's just I thought it was really weird that they were giving this matchup in the first round.
No,
that's all.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, the G1 is where Naito. Yeah, you guys are right. I agree with that.
Next, we have Evil against the New Japan Cup winner 2018, Zack Sabre Jr. John, this is a clash of styles, but it should be. I'm looking forward to this match because Jr. gets the best out of everyone. Evil is highly underappreciated, I find, as far as his in-ring style goes. What do you think?
Yeah, the easy money is on ZSJ to move forward. And I ultimately think he does, but that's more for selfish gain reasons, which I can explain later. But it is one of those things where Evil Zack Sabre Jr., we never really got. I felt that story was left unfinished. So for them to come right into the New Japan Cup to continue that story, these two are going to go after each other for a very long time in New Japan. And this is just a continuation of the story that started last year. Ultimately, as much as I'd like to see Evil move on because Naito's losing and you need LIJ representation, at the end of the day, Zack Sabre Jr. is your returning champion. He's not going to lose in the first round.
Thoughts, Anthony?
Yeah, I think Zack Sabre Jr. has to win this matchup. One, he won last year. He put on a great showing with Okada. One of my favorite matches of the year was a result of this tournament. Zack Sabre Jr., they clearly are big fans of, and he's got a lot of momentum. Even when he does lose, which doesn't seem like it's very often, New Japan really likes to keep a lot of momentum going forward with him. So winning in the first round is a no-brainer here. Also, not having an LIJ presence in the second round of the tournament kind of works with the whole LIJ thing. Like I feel like that stable can continue to lose, and New Japan has this benefit with these guys that Evil, Naito, Sanada, these dudes can lose, and that stable still remains incredibly popular. I mean, probably their most popular stable as a whole in all of New Japan, and definitely their most popular stable not named Bullet Club over in the West. But they, Evil can afford to lose too, just like Naito. You still believe him as credible.
Yeah.
And I agree. I agree with all that's been said. I will even add on top of this that, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. New Japan needs their strong heels to move forward. Mm-hmm. Zack Sabre Jr. is such a dick. Yeah. He is a dick. Like, he's the very definition of what a smarmy ass son of a bitch mm-hmm. dick is.
He's my favorite.
He's so good. So they do need that moving forward. I do think that there's a strong case to be made for Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. as a match in this tournament as well. So mm-hmm. that's definitely something. I agree with all the talk about Los Ingobernables de Japón. But I'll talk a little more in length about my feelings on that when we get to the other LIJ members bracket. Next, we have Colt Cabana, who is signed to New Japan, or is he
he's got like that ROH, you can go share. Work whenever you
want. Okay, yeah, there you. We go. Okay. Yeah. Because he had a great match at Rising at the last big show versus Makabe. Look, I'm going to be straight out. I'm spoiling the next bracket. For me, Cabana goes forward. He goes forward because that means in the second round we're going to get a dream match of sorts: Yano versus Colt Cabana. So there, I've spoiled it. That's why Cabana's going forward for me. And New Japan does comedy really well. Mm-hmm. They don't overdo it. There's this one match which really serves as a nice breather. It's still competitive. It's still fun to watch. It's not goofy shit for 15 minutes. And you put Yano and Cabana together in a match. Oh my God. It'll be, that's something that I'm really looking forward to. So those are my essential thoughts right there. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's got to be Cabana. I don't know why it wouldn't be. They, you know, what's going to be crazy, because I agree with you on that. That's where they're going, is if you have the opportunity to put Colt Cabana and Yano in a match, it doesn't matter who you are. Every booker knows you make that match. Because they're both good at comedy, but they're also both good wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's really easy to forget that Colt Cabana is actually a pretty damn good wrestler. You forget because his role is mostly commentary now, and I'm happy. I'm glad he's there. Like, that's the nice thing about the Elite leaving New Japan and Ring of Honor, is we're getting to see guys like Colt Cabana get back in the ring, because they have to. They have to get back in, because they don't have any other guys that are really, you know, super popular draws.
That's true.
But yeah, Cabana.
John.
Yeah, for those two reasons. One, you're not going to bring somebody on tour for them to lose in a weekend. And then two, it's all about Yano versus Colt Cabana in the second round. So totally on board.
There we go. Adding it to the board, Colt Cabana.
Next, we have Toru Yano versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. It's interesting to think that that Jr. would lose to Yano, but I'm sticking to my guns here. John.
You know, Toru Yano's never lost in the first round of a New Japan Cup, number one.
And really?
Number two, he also made the final four back in 2016. So knowing that, I think it's a pretty much a lock.
All right, I'm okay with that. Anthony, do you have anything to add?
I have no. I mean, I've got Yano winning this one. Davey Boy, like I said, with KES, they're not doing anything with them. They don't really need to do anything with them.
All right, simple enough. Moving right along, then we have right here Satoshi Kojima versus Murder Grandpa, rekindling some old embers of ancient feuds of years bygone. I'm going to throw this right to Anthony. Tell me what your thoughts on this match are.
I'll be honest, I don't have serious thoughts about this, because I never pick against Murder Grandpa because it fucking scares me. I don't care if he should win or not. I'm terrified to pick against Suzuki. But I feel like Suzuki needs to win first round matchups. That's really my logic there. That's all I got.
John?
Well, so I agree with that logic, but I will say this, is that you need some type of New Japan Pro Wrestling dad representation in the second round. Mm-hmm. We have Ishii coming back, which strikes out Nagata, and certainly Kojima isn't beating Suzuki. So then you take your perennial loser in Yoshihashi. That's how you get Nakanishi into the second round. We're picking right, fellas.
All right. So Murder Grandpa has been added to the board in all my glorious handwriting for those of you who are watching this on youtube.com/smarttodeath. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this on the Smart to Death podcast, well, you're missing out on my glorious handwriting and dexterous use of colors. final match of the bracket is Hiroki Goto versus Sanada. Now, I'm going to tell you all right now, if you pick anyone else than Sanada, you're wrong. And because I think this is one of the reasons I really do believe that they decided to have Evil and Sanada drop the titles, the tag team titles, so quickly, is on one hand, well, you know, New Japan doesn't really care about tag teams. But the second thing is because I really do think that 2019 is going to be Sanada's year. It's going to be a legitimate breakout year. They're going to prop him up as a legitimate contender for at least the IC title. I don't see anything under that for him. The crowd loves him. When he decides to go, we all freak out, lose our minds, and start tweeting the shit out of everything he does. He's ready for his big push. That's why he has the beard. It's a big beard. It's a big push beard that he's grown. And we were talking about LIJ representation. This is it right here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep going as far. We'll talk about it some more as we keep going along. But, you know, I think LIJ, he's going to be the backbone of LIJ until Hiromu comes back. And I think when Hiromu comes back, whether it be more in a managerial role or whatever, if he can actually compete or not, I think everyone's going to realize that, oh, okay, everyone in LIJ is going to be like, okay, well, Hiromu is the glue. Like, he's the guy who keeps it together. He's the guy who's who's here and helps us better ourselves. I think that's going to be a turning point. But in the meantime, I really think Sonata is going to benefit. John.
I said last year it was Sonata's year. I said the year before it was Sonata's year. So, Warren, I gotta be honest with you. When I'm looking at this bracket, I sit here and I tell you, 2019 is going to be Sonata's year. I promise you that. We're going to see him move on. We're going to see him begin to kind of build a bit of clout around him that he should be taken seriously as a single star. He needs to shave the beard eventually, but for now, he can be that gritty kind of gross little man that he is. And he can take this ball and run with it. And I hope that we see that trend continue. So I'm with you,
Anthony.
It has to be Sonata, and not only because of these reasons that this needs to be the year of his push and so on and so forth, but you know, but also because while I say that, you know, LIJ can continue to lose and stay popular, if there is a member of LIJ that needs to win to be taken seriously, I believe it is Sonata. Because the crowd wants to love Sonata, but it's so hard to get behind him when he's doing so well and then he loses. And then I feel like with Sonata, they forget about him so much. You know, Evil got his push to the Intercontinental title. Evil was the one that came out there and saved Naito from Jericho's beatdown. Where the fuck was Sonata during all of this?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And you made a really good point. Like, you can tell the New Japan audience wants an excuse to cheer for him. They want to be able to just go, hell yeah, this is our boy, and he has to win. Of all the LIJ members who are in the tournament here, all three of them, he's the one who has to win. I agree.
The other thing too is they're still going to go west at some point. Like, New Japan is still trying to expand west, and I believe that Sonata is one of those wrestlers that he's a Japanese wrestler, obviously, but I think that his style of wrestling will go over very well in the West. So keep him strong up until the G1, because you are starting that tournament here in the States. So, I mean, I think it's important to keep a guy like him that I think is Western ready as far as being popular, strong.
Very good. I will not emphasize the fact that I lost my cable in my headset and could not hear what you were saying, Anthony. I will
thank you.
I will keep
all my myself. Points. All my points were correct. It's okay. You missed nothing out of the norm.
Sure, sure. We've got people in the chat anyway there that'll keep you honest. People are behind Sonata as well.
Yes.
And Kristen Ashley, for some reason, seems to think that she calls me Murder Grandpa. Wouldn't know why. Now moving on to round two. We're going to move on to round two from this point on. So we're going to go back to the other side. Round two, based on our picks now, gentlemen. We have the first match would be Ishii versus Taichi.
Ooh.
Yeah, it still breaks my heart to have to murmur Taichi's name. But, you know, I'm being professional. Anthony, lead us off here.
I think
Ishii, Taichi, how does this one go?
I think Ishii should have a strong tournament. I think he should win this matchup, so I'm going to pick Taichi. I don't know why. I just feel like anytime I don't want Taichi to win something, he does anyway. and for some reason, I guess he's going to go back after the Never Open Weight title and he needs to win and have some momentum or something. I have no logical reason to pick Taichi. It just feels like that's what's going to happen if he faces Ishii, no matter how much I would like the opposite result to happen.
John.
Yeah, this is where that Iron Claw comes into play. And I think he bonks Ishii on the head with it, and we see him move on.
I agree. I think he is going to go for it again. I still have that reasoning about strong heels, you know. Mm-hmm. I will definitely go ahead and book. We'll put Taichi here.
I mean,
going over Ishii. And you know, the thing is that Ishii had such a great 2018 regardless. You know, it's like, you know, he has momentum nonetheless.
They can push him whenever they need to. This also gets Chaos members out of the way so Okada doesn't have to face his stable.
True. Very true. Next, Nakanishi versus Juice Robinson, according to our predictions. John, why don't you start us off here?
Yeah, so part of the narrative that I had going into this New Japan Cup is that Juice, who again is a Final Four caliber type of talent, he needs to do something with the U.S. title. And you can only do something with the U.S. title if you can defend it and you can win. So starting out with Chase Owens and then beating Nakanishi and then now moving on to Tai Chi, I just think makes a whole lot of sense to kind of get back into that Final Four so that he can show what this belt should be. And that is that it's a very pretty belt, number one. Yeah. And that it should have more prestige behind it than it does. So Juice.
Yeah, it's Juice. John, what do you think? Not John. We just spoke to John. Anthony, what do you think?
I'm with you 100%. I think Juice not only needs to win this, but will win this matchup. The U.S. title needs to be built stronger. It really hasn't had, you know, any credibility because the two other champions, the three other champions, I forgot Cody even held it for a moment. You know, it just wasn't defended very often. I feel like when it was defended, it pretty much turned over immediately. So, Juice is looking really, really strong over in ROH. That's helping this title. Winning in the New Japan Cup, at least a couple of rounds, getting to the Final Four, at least winning the first two rounds does help add some prestige and make this guy like, okay, he's one of our champions. He's legitimate. He went two rounds deep, three rounds deep in a tournament, you know? So that'd be great. What is this squeaking?
So, someone is burning toast in my household, folks. I apologize. It's just that my fire alarm, there you go. See, everything is under control. So you see, if I ever do go up in smoke, it will not be without fair warning.
That's legal in Canada, so you're right.
Well, I picked Juice. That's what I
think. Okay. All right. I'm gonna pick Juice as well. And if only on the basis that that his 2018 booking was so weird, mm-hmm. you know, like it felt like a start-stop kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's a big, big baby face. People buy into him. Yeah. I think it's good that he moves on. Next, Hikuleo versus Kazuchika Okada. No-brainer?
Okada.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Darren Kirkby says, Warren, your smoke alarm went off because of the hot takes.
I love it. Yeah, there you go. Why didn't I think of that?
I know. Well, to be fair, it's like, I think it's like prime time for him. It's like a normal time of night. So like he's more awake than we are. Darren's been awake for a while over in the UK.
Evening, it's fine.
Yeah. Okada is a no-brainer here. There's no way he's losing to a returning Tongan.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. Finally, Bad Luck Fale versus Toa Henare. Again, I think this is a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Bad Luck Fale. I think that it's got to be Okada Fale 2. Right. From Wrestle Kingdom. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with Fale going forward. If he beats Ospreay in the first round, then there's no way he's losing in the second.
Yeah. I don't have the Hanare now.
I don't think so either. This all makes sense to me. All right, very good. So a couple of easy picks in round two to begin with. Mm-hmm. Now let's move on to the next side of the board, the other side of the board, where we have Tanahashi versus Tenzan. Who wants to take this one on first? I think this is an interesting one to talk about.
Go, John. It's all you.
Well, so again, strong early 2019 for Tenzan. Nice little being brought back into relevance after a very slow 2018. It hurts me to say because the man's a legend. However, I think that there is a story worth telling in the semifinal round with Tanahashi. I think ultimately... that although Tenzan is running pretty hot right now, Hiroshi Tanahashi is just more craftier. And I think we see a lot of knee psychology to the point where Tenzan can't walk anymore. And then he gets a little bit of a break because he needs it. So just from the durability issues of being 1,000 years old. So I think that we see Tanahashi move on in a very competitive match. But ultimately, it's going to be a high five or high five flow that's going to put Tenzan out for like 2 or 3 months. Give him a nice break.
Anthony.
Yeah, I think if Tanahashi is going to lose in this tournament, and he will. I don't predict him to be the winner. I don't think any of us probably would. But It has to be someone that needs the rub, and Tenzon's not that guy. I think this will be a good match. I think there's going to be a lot of good psychology here as well. I agree with John. These are very good points, but this is still a no-brainer for me. It's Tanahashi here. If he doesn't get upset by the young lion, push him a couple rounds.
I think there's value still, and we've seen it. We've seen it last year. There's value in keeping Tanahashi strong.
Right.
I really think that there's value in that for the upper card, for keeping things interesting. So, yeah, definitely Tanahashi moving forward. Zack Sabre Jr. and Ibushi. Kota Ibushi. How many times is Zack Sabre Jr. going to drop him on his neck, Anthony?
You know, I just want to put this in. I would like to formally request, Ghetto, that you hire John Warren and I myself, because the second round of this tournament, it's got some good matchups, and this is a good one. So we know what we're doing. If you'd like to give us a job, I would love to live in Japan, so it's fine. Don't worry, I'll go there. Just pay for my flight. I think this match is going to be fantastic. I would love to see. I'm afraid of Ibushi's neck here. Not so much him landing on it, because he's just going to be in submissions, but we're going to see how fucked up that neck is by the way that Zack Sabre Jr. just like mutilates it and just moves it around. I think I want to go Zack Sabre Jr. here. I could be convinced to Ibushi, but this is tougher than the first round. I mean, this is tougher than Ibushi Naito to predict, I think.
I don't think it's very difficult. It's Ibushi. Reason being is that this is your second round matchup from last year, where Zack Sabre Jr. beat Kota Ibushi by stoppage. So this is, again, you talked the long-term storybooking of New Japan. This is a perfect opportunity for Ibushi to get that win back and set up, if he were to win the title one day, which won't be coming out of this, a nice little feud between those two. Back when they do become ultimately leaders of their own factions. So I think we see Ibushi get his win back here and move on to the next round.
You're going 50-50 booking there.
Oh, absolutely. In New Japan's case, more times than not, I am.
Yeah, and, you know, there will be callbacks to that match as well. It is really tricky, this one, isn't it? Because both second round matches would make sense, you know,
right?
Or third round matches, I should say, you know, if we are correct and Tanahashi does go forward, and then we end up with either Ibushi or Zack Sabre Jr. both have, you know, both would have gravitas around it, both would be really really good, really interesting, and I think I'm gonna go with Zack Sabre Jr. and I think the reason is exactly for what Anthony said. When we were talking about why Tanahashi should go forward over Tenzon, is because if you're going to have Tanahashi lose to someone, you're going to give that person the rub. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that Zack Sabre Jr. is adored by management and booking, and they see a lot of value in him. And just as it's important to have a strong Tanahashi going forward, there's a lot of value in it. I think there's a tremendous a lot of value in a strong Zack Sabre Jr., who is, let's not mince words here, he's the heir apparent to Suzuki, you know, as far as that style of wrestling goes, you know, dismantling people and tearing them apart. He's the next Minoru Suzuki. So yeah.
Can I play devil's advocate on this one?
Go ahead. Yeah, of course.
Okay. So you have so ultimately I think where they're headed in 2019 at some point is Zack Sabre Jr. versus Suzuki-gun in a respect feud versus Minoru Suzuki in a respect feud for what ultimately will become Sabre-gun by the end of the year, right? I think they're heading that direction. So two strong heels making themselves stronger in a respect feud. I think that's where you can get there. I think you can get that. Let's not forget that Tanahashi spoke very highly of Ibushi during the G1 with regards to Kenny Omega's holding you back, right? And you need to be your own guy and come with me and I'll mentor you through how to be the new ace of New Japan. And you have a perfect opportunity in this tournament to set that up. Go as a precursor for, hey, Jay White took my title. I'm now going to mentor you by you beating me, and now you go on and you face him at MSG for the title. I think that's a story worth telling. And I think I don't want to be too short-sighted or too blinded by how much we love Zack Sabre Jr. and the fact that he's a heel. He just won this tournament. He's fine. Yeah. He's not going to get hurt. But I think that the story with Ibushi and Tanahashi moving forward, especially if this continues into a program with Jay White, is one worth exploring. Warren, I'm never going to come out and tell you that you're wrong, but I think in this instance, you're just a little short-sighted in your logic.
Oh, well, oh, I'm holding strong to this, and I'm gonna save my final argument for a match a little later on that we're gonna talk about. Yeah. Because I do believe that my story makes more sense, John.
I'm on Warren's side here too, because there's an argument to be made. Sure,
fuck Philadelphia.
Whatever, Canada.
Yeah, fuck yeah. No, I'm really on Warren's side. There absolutely is an argument to be made that Ibushi winning and being mentored by Tanahashi is the way to go. But the better story is Zack Sabre Jr. being a complete fucking dick to Tanahashi, beating the ace, beating the face. He doesn't have to win the whole cup here. But I think keeping Zack Sabre Jr. strong and beating the ace when he's eventually going to take over Suzuki-gun, I think is the better story, and I think it's the better booking too. Neither of these guys need it. And like that's the beauty of New Japan, is that we're spending like 10 minutes here arguing over two guys that haven't even held the IWGP heavyweight title, because they have real contenders in New Japan. That's a different rant and a different story. I think Zack Sabre Jr. is the guy to go. Ibushi doesn't need to win that many matches. They could tell me tomorrow that Ibushi's main eventing MSG, and while some people will be pissed he didn't earn it, it still makes sense. The fans will be fine. Ibushi needs no rubs. He does not need it. Zack Sabre Jr. could use it, especially if he's taking over a faction later in the year.
You can put Zack Sabre Jr. on the board. Just get ready for when I say, I told you so, for the remainder of the year. Ibushi beats the ESA.
Well, you know, it's too, you know, it's there.
It's he already wrote it.
It's already there. I mean, it's the truth. It's been set in stone, or at least in, you know, erasable marker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for this. All right, let's move on.
It's clean it back up.
Kibana versus Yano. Oh, so man. This is my dream match, man. Are you kidding me?
Fantasy.
Wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be fun. But who goes forward? I have no idea. But I just want to point out, I like pointing this out, just so we don't forget, you know, Toru Yano still has an IWGP title shot in his pocket because he did pin Kenny Omega during the G1 last year.
That's right.
Let's not forget that. Does he continue off of that momentum? Does he go to the G1 and face Jay White?
Oh, no.
Chaos versus Bullet Club. That's what we want, right?
Man, I think Yano is going to win this match. He's going to be the winner of the Warren Hayes Cup. Because that's what this matchup is. This is the finals of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show Cup. Just ridiculous and goofy, but somehow quite good, technically. Yeah. It's very, very interesting.
We do talk a lot about how, like you said earlier, you know, how, you know, they're comedy wrestlers and they're super entertaining, but they are quality wrestlers.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. This is going to be a good match. I mean, do you guys have any argument that this won't be an enjoy? It'll be a fun match to watch because of comedy.
But it's a lot of fun.
I think it might technically be okay. I'm not saying this is going to be a goddamn clinic.
Okay. So who are we picking, basically?
Yano. It'll be a clinic in comedy wrestling. And yes, it's Yano.
Yano. I'm okay with this.
No one's ever upset with Yano winning, right? I don't think that.
I could name a couple of people. Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki versus Sonata here. I'm going to come straight out the gate. I'm going to not hang on to any spoilers here. Sonata's moving forward. And this, John, is the rest of my logic as to why Zack Sabre Jr. is going to win his match against Ibushi, John, because Jr. is going to move forward. Suzuki is going to lose. And this is where the spark of Saber Goon is going to start, where Zach is going to just, well, either Zach, I mean, it, we always think these things end up in war, right? But maybe Suzuki is just going to be like, look, you know, face facts. I'm, you know, drop the ball again. You're going forward. You're the pride of Suzuki-gun. I'm handing you the keys. You know, it could be just like a good old fashioned passing of the torch instead of, you know, this drawn out feud.
That literally never happens.
But I know. But I mean, let's get creative here. Let's get wacky. Let's imagine that Dana Warrior's on our creative team. Okay, so let's just put that out there. But I really think. That this is going to be part of the reasons why Suzuki-gun is going to start. There's going to be a power shift. I think this is part of Zack Sabre Jr. continuing to establish himself as the new Minoru Suzuki, and Sanada. Sanada keeps going forward. Sanada moves on because Sanada is Sanada, and Sanada is great. Off to you, gentlemen.
Go ahead, John.
I think it's Sanada here. Because I like Sanada and I think he needs a good showing, and he's the only LIJ member left, and they historically have done very well in this tournament up until the semifinals. So, to get representation there, it would make sense. Suzuki can afford the loss. Probably something, I mean, you could do something ridiculous like him just getting lost in the crowd after beating the crap out of him for 45 minutes out in the stands. So yeah, any which way you want to play it, I'm fine with Sanada moves on.
Yeah, Anthony. I've got no arguments here. I don't think there's an argument that can be made about, you know, Suzuki moving past Sanada. I do think that this is going to play into that story for the Suzuki Gun, potential Saber Gun, you know, feud at the end of the year or however they do it. I do think you see Zack Sabre Jr. moving past Suzuki metaphorically or however, whatever the correct usage of the English language is there. It's moving past him into rounds and seeing that he's just more equipped to be leader. And I'm Sanada all day.
All right. So as we move into the, what is this? The quarterfinals? Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Quarterfinals.
Just to run him down here, these are our picks. Tai Chi versus Juice Robinson. Kazuchika Okada versus Bad Luck Fale. Bring my microphone over here. Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Toru Yano versus Sanada. Interesting layout for the quarterfinals here. Let's start with Tai Chi and Juice Robinson. John, why don't you start us off on this one?
Easiest path to the semifinals is this bracket. Juice needs to show prestige in New Japan with the U.S. Championship by going over a previous not only trios title, but open weight title holder. It makes a whole lot of sense to me. I'm going with Juice.
Anthony, that's your name, right?
Yeah, that is it. I want to go with Juice here. I'm going to go with Juice, but there is a big part of me that I just don't like doubting that Taichi goes over in matches that I don't think he should. The correct booking in my mind is the same thing John said, is Juice winning, getting the U.S. title to look strong, especially when your G1 tournament is starting here in Texas, in the United States, and they probably need to have a strong champ defending the title there.
I agree. I think Juice is the guy who goes forward here, if only because he would it would be a fantastic showcase for him to be able to fight Okada again with better booking behind him as well. Mm-hmm. So let's go with Mr. Robinson here. Okada versus Bad Luck Fale. We talked about that. We talked a bit about it earlier, about Chaos going over Bullet Club. I kind of feel like there's not much to talk about here. Mm-hmm. Bad Luck Fale goes over.
Redemption song, man. Got it.
Redemption song. Did you say Bad Luck Fale goes over?
No. Let me rephrase because you're right. He beat him at Wrestle Kingdom.
I did
over because of the redemption storyline that they're going on now.
Yeah, I said Bad Luck Fale because I wanted to make sure you guys were paying attention. Jesus Christ!
Well, I said redemption song,
and you did say redemption song.
Yeah. Okada has to win this matchup. What a great semifinal matchup that'd be if we're right here.
And honestly, it makes so much sense when you look at the board.
Except for that, yes, J1, right? That one.
Excuse me?
But yeah, right.
Could you mute John for a second?
I can. I have to mute both of y'all. One or nothing.
All right.
All or
nothing. Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. I'm going to let Anthony kick this one off while John collects his notes and comes up with a plan here, because we've completely screwed up his
notes. Bro.
I'm going to be really honest. I'm kind of upset I let myself be convinced of Zack Sabre Jr. now, because now the finals matchup doesn't make as much sense.
You always play the middle. I hate it.
Who, me?
Yes. It's like, oh, I'll pick you, but I'm actually okay with it. Now, go ahead.
No. I went in. I thought Zack Sabre Jr. would go very far here. And now, like, you know, we got Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr., and it doesn't make any sense for Tanahashi to end up facing Okada for the 1,000,000th time. It would make more sense for Ibushi to be in this spot now that I see this, but I can't go back. I've already gone this far.
And it's only an erasable ink.
Yeah. Warren, what's your ruling here?
Zack Sabre Jr. goes over.
I would think Zack Sabre Jr. has to go over. He's not letting me change the pick.
Yeah, we got to work with Zack Sabre Jr. I'm just
no, but it still makes sense, you guys. Can you imagine throughout this tournament the promos he's going to cut? I'm going to win the New Japan Cup two years in a row. And when he does beat Tanahashi, and then everyone's like, oh my God, is he actually going to do it? This is drama, you guys. This is a great story. How many people have won the New Japan Cup? Chat, feel free to chime in here and tell us. How many people have won the New Japan Cup two times in a row? Why wouldn't he position himself as being a What's that?
Tensai, I believe, did.
Really? Okay.
Maybe it was the G1. I forget, but I might be right on that.
Yeah. If this is the matchup, Zack Sabre Jr. has to go over Tanahashi. Tanahashi's not beating, no matter who ends up on the other side of this matchup, Tanahashi's not winning and going to the semifinals. He's not. He's losing in the quarters.
And it's all going to make sense once we get to the semifinals, but I want to keep my reasoning for later as well. John, did you chime in here? No, you didn't.
So I have to play within the rules here, right? Looking at the matchups. Mm-hmm. And I would agree that if you're talking Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr., it only makes sense to then push Zack Sabre Jr. behind the heel narrative. Can he get two in a row? There is a story to be built there. It's not the best story in my opinion, but it is one worth telling. He needs a big win over someone like Tanahashi in a tournament like this. So yeah, Zack Sabre Jr. makes the most sense.
All right. So ZSJ or ZSJ, depending on what part of the world you're in, is our man, which brings us to the last quarterfinal match, Sonata versus Yano, which is an interesting one when you take it at face value. But we've seen Sonata versus Yano before.
G1 last year.
At the G1 last year, right? And I really liked it because Sonata is such a straight man, you know. He's all business, you know. He doesn't dick around. He's like, you know, I'm in here to get the job done. So he's a perfect foil to Yano. It's really, really like this will probably be another really fun match, despite being a little throwaway as far as its results go, because I don't think there's any. I mean, we could be surprised. But well, I don't think Yano makes it to the semifinals.
If I can play on this. So we've had no 50-50 booking long-term up to this point because nobody lets me do my 50-50 booking. However, Toru Yano did lose to Sonata last year in 4.5 minutes in this tournament. So anytime you want to see Yano move on in a tournament, this would be the time to do it in a nice little 50-50 booking type of thing. But I don't see it happening. It's going to be Sonata. For all the reasons that we've discussed before, it's his year. He needs a good showing. It's LIJ. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Yano make his second Final Four in 3 years, 4 years. So for me, it's Sonata.
What do you think, Anthony?
Yeah, it's got to be Sonata. I think more than anyone that's in this field that needs to be built as a credible threat, Sonata's the one that needs this big, nice tournament more than anyone.
And I agree. I agree. So we are in the mood for semifinals.
Yes.
Gentlemen, our two semifinal matches are Juice Robinson versus Kazuchika Okada and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sonata.
It's a nice Final Four. It's
It's a nice Final Four. Let's be free.
Could be better.
I think I know which of the four he's not happy with.
All right, well, let's start with the left side. Juice versus Okada. Anthony, give us some preliminary thoughts.
Going into this tournament, before the field was announced, I only had one winner in my mind, because the story is the one that makes the most sense and is the one that I would like to see the most. There is no way Juice is beating Okada. I don't think him losing to Okada is bad. I think this is how you have Juice have a really great tournament, and then you lose to one of the greatest wrestlers, if not the greatest wrestler on this earth right now, in Kazuchika Okada. Okada rightfully takes his place in the finals here.
John?
I want to sit here. I want to tell you it's going to be Juice. Mm-hmm. I want to sit here and tell you that Juice is... they're really going to utilize this tournament to exemplify the U.S. title, knowing that it's overseas right now and knowing that MSG is coming up. I think that a win over Okada in any circumstance brings more clout to what it is, validity to what it is that you do in the ring. I think it sets up fun matches with either Sonata or Zack Sabre Jr., because you have LIJ versus Chaos, or you have LIJ versus... Taguchi 6-9, or you have Zack Sabre Jr. face heel matchup with both going after it. Neither have a title on the other side. For all those reasons, I want to say it's Juice Robinson, which, if you know me, I am not a Juice Robinson fan. Mm-hmm. But as this bracket formulated, it kind of formulated on this left side the way I thought it would. I just don't think that we're ready for Okada's redemption yet. I think this is where the story ends. I think this is where we see Juice begin to take off. And more importantly, I think this is where we see a nice spot for the U.S. title in the New Japan Cup. I'm picking Juice.
Ooh.
Whoa. Yeah, no, you're wrong again, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, that one I'm a little more like, that's more personal. Like, I want to see that happen. But so, like, I'm okay with it being Okada. I'm not going to fight you on that one. The Ibushi thing, just think about it that way. You could have had a so. You know what I'm saying?
I think the money is with Okada. I think there's...
He is the rainmaker. Typically, money is with him.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, I'm in complete agreement with Anthony, where even if Juice loses, he has a good showing with Okada. Like, if he decides to bring his A game, Okada will make his A game an A-plus game, and everyone will be better off for it.
I think John has a nice point, though. I mean, I don't think John's wrong by saying it's too early for the redemption of Okada, but I think they've booked themselves in a corner here, and by losing Kenny Omega and not having someone else to go in MSG that is this big, fantastic wrestler. Sure, Ibushi too. You could get him there. I understand that. I think that's fine too. But Okada's been their ace for so long, and they've been able to count on him for so long now that he deserves to main event the first big American show they have.
Yep,
he just does.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sonata is our other semifinal match, boys. John, lead us into this one.
Yeah, actually, if I just want to touch base on the one. So just one more argument for Juice, and I'm not trying to change anybody's minds, but you think they're going to have Tanahashi versus Okada at MSG to show that match to America? If they do, then Okada wouldn't win, but he could make the final. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Food for thought. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sonata. Again, it's like Warren's, it's a pick'em for Warren, right? It's his two favorite wrestlers, face and heel. So I'm glad that, we're on the Warren Hayes show. I'll sit here and I'll tell you that if this is where we're going and Okada's in the other side of it, just like Juice is, you have to beat the standard bearer in New Japan. It only makes sense for Sonata to move on, and you see those two against each other. The run for Zack Sabre Jr. ends, and you have Sonata versus Okada, where a hell of a match will ensue.
Anthony,
Sonata versus Okada. I didn't expect us to get here. I still can see a point for what John's seeing, but I do like Sonata winning here. I do like Okada versus Sonata. I think that I know that there's some other guys one in particular that deserved to be in this final matchup as well, but Sonata needs it. He needs to be in this. He needs to look credible, and this helps you get into an IC title match eventually, even if it's with Naito.
That's been my entire reasoning with this booking the entire way, is that you have to, if you're going to give Sonata the singles push that that I feel is necessary for him and for New Japan to get a new rising star, somewhat put him up into an upper card status. There's nothing like putting him up against Kazuchika Okada, and I think that's part of Okada's path as well. You know, wrestling these guys who are on the cusp, you know, or who we feel are credible enough to move up to that upper echelon, and then just really give them that good old fashioned rainmaker rub, so where they don't win, but they just look like a million bucks in the process. So yeah, Sonata goes for it.
I got to read the chat before we move forward. I'm sorry, guys, but we've got where
are
we
talking at? Shit about me again?
JPQ started it. Yeah,
Darren started it.
Darren started it by saying big claws on a pup. Warren, Chris and Ashley says we're all on the Warren Hayes show all the time. Trust me. JPQ says I see why Kristen's so short with him from time to time. Darren says he's never been on my show yet, but it's still why Warren watches Diva Warren Hayes dirt. Smart to Hayes.
I hate you all. So, the finals. So, the finals are Sonata versus Okada. And if I may allow myself to be the bearer here, there is right now for the G1 Supercard, there is no more appropriate, bigger main event than getting Jay White and Okada in a ring again, but this time for the title, because it is the match that has the most history, and there is, it's still part of Okada's redemption. You know, like right now, when you look at who's involved, who's left, now that the Elite are gone, for the North American crowd, I really don't think there's a bigger main event.
I don't think so either. Like I said, going into this tournament, there was always one winner for me, and it's Okada. And if rumors that you've seen on dirt sheets are to be true, there was a rematch that was planned for the title, and a certain individual was not going to lose at Wrestle Kingdom, and we were going to get Okada most likely winning this tournament and facing Mr. Omega here, and Jay White's replaced the booking. Jay White is not as much as I'd like him to be, because I think he's doing a great job over in New Japan. He's a credible heel. I don't think that he's the long-term champ. I think that, unfortunately, he's a slightly longer title reign transitional champ. I think that Okada main events, and I think Okada wins in MSG.
John,
I hate all of that.
I don't say that. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying right. That's what I see.
You could have had Jay White versus Ibushi, with Jay White winning, continuing his momentum, ultimately setting up the real payoff with Okada later in the year. You could have had that. You could have had that. I'm just letting you know that now. You also could have had Tanahashi versus Okada in that match for the States, which has never been done in the States. And it's what brought New Japan out of the Dark Ages was that story arc. So you could have had that, but you decided to go different. Right, you decided to sit here and
I love how he's distancing himself from this.
I know.
Yeah, I am distancing myself from this, because there is no way that Jay White loses to Okada at MSG in what would be his first title defense. Yeah, right? Like, I don't think he's defended it yet. Am I wrong on that?
But if Tanahashi can lose in his first title defense, then why can't...
Because it's Tanahashi. Right, because Tanahashi's had the title for so long. He's had multiple reigns. He's played both the face and the heel for years. He's the ace of New Japan. And you're going to sit here and you're going to tell me that their biggest, newest star, this entire bracket was built around the fact that New Japan, in Warren's eyes, needs to build new talent. And now your hottest, newest talent is going to lose the title to Okada at MSG. That's just not going to happen. The payoff doesn't happen that soon, my friends. When it comes to New Japan, they're going to ache and claw their way to this over the next 12 to 18 months. With that said, I am someone who plays by the rules. So when I look at Sonata and I look at Okada, I'm going to tell you that if that's the matchup in the finals, Sonata finds a way to win. He goes on to MSG. We get Tana versus Okada at MSG as well. And Sonata now cements himself as a major player within LIJ to continue the storyline that Mr. Warren Hayes is trying to push on everybody.
I have never said that Kazuchika Okada was going to win at the G1. You guys are making presumptions.
That was him. That was him.
Yeah.
Testing if you're paying attention.
I don't disagree with any of your points, John. I don't. And I know payoffs usually are not that quick in New Japan. I get it. I totally do. I understand that. But this is a different situation now, and that's the only reason why I changed that. Because they lost someone they probably thought they would still have for this showcase show. And yes, the G1 Supercard could be a place that they show off Okada versus Tanahashi. And while the three of us would like to see that again, probably, and most hardcore wrestling fans would like to see that again, does it matter to New York?
It's a Ring of Honor. It's a Ring of Honor New Japan show. Like, who's going to be there other than wrestling nerds like ourselves?
Sure, but you're also in. I mean, this is WrestleMania weekend. There's going to be 20,000 people there, maybe, if people actually show up. Since apparently they're trying to get rid of tickets, people that bought it. I think Okada is. I just see Okada walking out. He's the top guy in New Japan. And I think the American crowd that's going to see this big, grandioso pay-per-view event needs to see that the best wrestler in New Japan walks out with the title. I think that's the best way to get it to. I'm thinking Western expansion only, and I know that's not necessarily the right way to look at it because New Japan doesn't give a fuck about their Western expansion.
How dare you, sir?
But that's how I'm looking at it. Is there, like, we thought they didn't, then all of a sudden at Wrestle Kingdom they tell us they're doing all of these shows in the West, and the shows in the West haven't done that well because they don't have guys like Okada on it. I think Okada has to be the showcase and walk out. He has to win this tournament. He has to walk out with that belt, and he has to be the gem of New Japan to these new Western fans that are going to see them watching on Fight TV or pay-per-view or being in New York during WrestleMania weekend.
Had Kenny Omega still been around, this would have been a much easier show to talk about.
Because it would have been Ibushi versus Omega. That was the easiest match in the world to make. I feel like they were definitely giving us that payoff. It had been long enough.
I agree. Well, are we going ahead with it? Is Okada is our winner of the finals of the New Japan Cup?
I'm going Sonata.
You're going Sonata. Okay.
Okada is the winner of the New Japan Cup.
All right, 2-1. 2-1. I know we were going to fall on that, Warren.
I don't hate, like, here's the thing. No, though,
I don't mind Okada J. White. That's not it at right. all. I just don't like being wrong. And in this instance, I'm wrong. I'm part of a group. We're a brain trust. No, it's good. No, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with if that's the story that they're going to tell, and for all the reasons that you said, I'm perfectly fine with that. But it would be unlike me to not sit here and just let you guys know that it's going to be Ibushi J and it's going to be Tana versus Okada, and that's going to be your two main marquee matches at New Japan Pro Wrestling in at Madison Square Garden. But with that said, although I really do like Sonata winning over Okada, I think that's good. If it's Okada Sonata, Okada makes the most sense. He's the one that moves on to MSG.
And don't forget, the G1 is always a reset button as well. If they right. see things aren't working, right. you know, and it's not exactly what they need.
Well, they get a million a month later. So remember, you got something yeah. for that too.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the G1 is definitely a reset. And, you know, you have a few interesting people here that we could see. Really have a strong G1 and be the answer to a reset button in Ibushi and Naito and, I mean, even Evil and some of these other guys. So I think the lasting thing we have to take away from breaking down this tournament is this should be a very good tournament.
Yes, we've got a lot of there's a lot of fantastic matches on coming and some faces that we haven't seen in a while, which is always going to be a good thing. It's going to be refreshing at the same time. It'll be really interesting to see just, you know, whatever scenario it is, who they decide to push and move forward, because that will really be indicative of where they're heading into the G1 mm-hmm. and ultimately into Wrestle Kingdom, of course.
Well, I'm going to take this baton back from Mr. Warren Hayes and take back over. He had the board, so I had to let him host. Guys, this is officially the longest episode of Smart to Death I have ever done.
Woo!
First.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Because Karis wasn't here.
That's yeah, because she's like, get the fuck out of here. We gotta go. We gotta go. but yeah, this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this. One thing we always like to do, you guys know, on Smart to Death is when we break down things like this, we like to say, who do we think is going to have the best showing? Who are we going to be most impressed with, regardless of their stay in the tournament? Who's your standout for the tournament, boys?
Sonata. Even if he goes to the finals, I think it's going to be him.
John?
I'm going to say, I'm going to say Yano. I'm going Yano. I just think he's going to have a fun three-match. I think he'll be the memory from this tournament for me.
I'm good with Yano. That's kind of where I was leaning to. If he makes it as far as we predicted him to make it, I think you can't help. But a lot of these people that became New Japan fans because of the Elite that have stuck around because they realize New Japan's fucking fantastic probably don't realize that Yano's actually quite good. So
very good.
I'm sure they're going to say, oh, man, this comedy wrestler can actually wrestle. Wow. What a cool thing. We'll be equally impressed by the rest of these guys that we always have been, I think.
Absolutely.
So
good points, gentlemen.
So before we get out of here, you guys both know I got to shout out the patrons because I'm going to release this episode audio if I can figure it out. If not, you guys will, and that'll be great. Guys, thank you so much. If you like Smart to Death, I do plan on doing more collaborations. We have our regular episodes with me and Kyle. We'll be back on Wednesday and getting some more interviews and stuff. You can support the show by going to patreon.com/smarttodeath, becoming a premium member, and getting some pretty cool shit. Both of these guys are members. Brandon McKinney, Natalie Evans, Papa Suter, Robert Jackson, Shane Richardson, Dan White, 720 Wrestling, Mr. Warren Hayes, Kevin Cito, Two Girls on a Bench, David Edge, Kelly Parker, Cameron Curry, Richard Sandoval, JPQ, Courtney Summers, Carl Hayes, Ryan DeRosa, John Baez, Justin Bullock, Omega Luke Podcast, Queen of the North, and Colton Philpott, all patrons. Guys, what do you have coming up, starting with John?
I will be...
Did you find any appointments with John?
Not hanging out with Anthony Suter anytime soon, apparently.
That's par for the course for this show.
I know, it's perfect. I was just doing. I want to give a quick plug to Mags, to Darren Kirkby on Twitter. He just had me on his Five Rounds podcast talking about the latest UFC 235 fight. So that should be dropping later this week. On top of that, you can find me at Big Paws on a Pup on Twitter as well as at NPA Podcast, where we talk. This podcast name is No Particular Angle. It drops every Wednesday. Interviews, speculation on any type of wrestling, all type of wrestling. We usually pick a path and we kind of travel down that for about 45 minutes to an hour. Other than that, you can find me on the Twitter waves. So,
Warren, plug what you like.
Well, there you go. Monday and Tuesday are my Raw and SmackDown recap shows about a half hour after the shows are done over on YouTube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Then on FightfulSelect.com on Wednesday for my 205 Live NXT NXT UK recap show. And then on Thursday, I'm having JPQ on my Fastlane prediction show. It's going to be live. So this Thursday, guys, be sure to check that out. And yeah, it's Fastlane week. So it's going to be a whole different type of discussion than what we had today.
I really wish that WWE would not have these Fastlane pay-per-views and just give me a goddamn chance to breathe between them. Holy crap, man. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Warren and John, as you guys probably know if you listen to the show, are two of my very favorite people I've met here on Wrestling Twitter. So I love working with them whenever I can. I'm hoping to work with John a little bit more here in 2019. I've worked with Warren almost as much as I've worked with Kyle, it feels like sometimes, but you guys are fantastic. Thank you for doing this with me. I think this is fun. I'd love to do another one for the Best of the Super Juniors and for the G1. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. And it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Anthony. This was great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So guys, thank you for listening. Please make sure you listen to all of these podcasts. They're all on podcasting devices. Give them a 5-star Frog Splash rating and review so we can all be tied for number one in your ears, your heart, and on the charts. For Warren, for John, I'm Anthony. Kyle fucked off somewhere. Have a great day.
however you go. For energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.